Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, starting at verse 11. 7:11. And you can store that away for future knowledge as convenient of you if you can. Hebrews 7:11. If therefore perfection whereby the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another high priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? There would have been no need if the Levitical priesthood was complete. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth or belongeth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. In other words, not of the tribe of Levi. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, line of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. So therein we have a problem if you expect him to be of the Aaronic line of priests. Now, we're going to see in 15, we change to the better. For it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude, likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, heteros, not another like the exact same kind, but another of a different kind, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, Psalm 110, verse 4. For there is verily a disannulling or annulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which, here we go, we draw nigh unto God. May the Lord have his blessing to the reading of his word, a better hope. Let us pray. Dear Lord, a difficult passage to be sure, a difficult epistle to rightly divide the word of truth. May I do so this evening. May your Holy Spirit give us unction, give me words to say. May you give us wisdom. May tonight the truth of the far better priesthood of Christ be clearly seen and clearly your Holy Spirit ministering to our hearts. Thank you for those who are willing to help in the children's ministry. May you bless those helping tonight. And may our time together be sweet. Forgive me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me, please, with your Spirit tonight. Lord, I am a person that so needs your help, can do nothing without you. I ask these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Traditions. In 1903, someone noticed a Roman soldier, sentry, standing at guard of a post with no apparent reason for being there. When asked why he was standing there, he said, I'm just following my orders. The question was asked of the captain of a guard. Why is he there? I don't know. It went up the chain of command all the way to the Tsar of Russia. He didn't know, so he sent an investigation. Why is this sentry standing here? Well, come to find out, it was discovered that in 1776, Catherine the Great had planted a rose bush there and posted a sentry to guard her rose bush. The bush had been dead for over 80 years, but the sentry was still standing guard. Traditions are hard to change. Religious traditions are especially hard to change because people insist that God has ordained them. Jewish people rightly believe that God had ordained the traditions and practices of the Mosaic Law almost 15 centuries prior to the writing of this epistle, 15 centuries before the time of Christ. The law is the very center of Jewish culture. They ordered their lives around the Sabbath worship and the yearly feast. The priests and the Levites oversaw and regulated the worship of the Jewish temple, the sacrifices and the rules and all these things, deeply entrenched into the hearts and minds of the Jewish people. By the way, this is called the Epistle to the Hebrews. Sometimes we just simply think Hebrews and don't give the whole title, like the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not just the revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Changes a lot of things when you say it that way. So this is the epistle to the Hebrews. Now, they're going to challenge. This was going to be a challenge to their way of life, if you would. Do you remember in Acts chapter 6, when the opponents of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, charged and said, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place in the law, for we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. I tell you, to speak against the law to the Jews, well, you're going to take your life in your own hands when you start speaking against, in this era, the Mosaic law. Paul's opponents shouted in Acts 21, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Even Jews who had professed faith in Christ said in Acts 21:20, and they are all zealous of the law. So the author of Hebrews has quite a formidable task, if you would, to get the Jewish people, the Christian people, to understand Christianity is a better way. Jesus is a better high priest. The new covenant and the priesthood of Christ supersedes the law and the Levitical priesthood. The shofar horn they hear at the temple during Jerusalem. Can you imagine how that horn blows out? Oh, it's time to go to the temple. Oh, wait. I've trusted Christ as my Messiah. That's not part of our anymore. And the food we had, the pieces we gathered around, all those things, the Diet Mountain Dew we had after all the time, the family times we had. Oh, I so miss that. But no, wait. And so they're torn. They're torn wanting to go back into Judaism. No, don't do that. And because of these problems, it has been changed and set aside, disannulled, the Levitical priesthood, the Jewish system of, when Christ died and the temple veil was rent, that was it. The picture for ever since Egypt and the Passover lamb, the picture we'd seen for centuries on, for hundreds and hundreds of years, is done. There is no more need. It is finished. One sacrifice for sin for all time. That's why this mass, the churches that have the mass, there is no need for that any longer. He has died once and for all. That is it. To re-crucify him is what a travesty. And to even say that after some words, that the wafer and the blood actually become his body and blood when you take it into your body, they're called their accidentals. No, he's died once and for all. Now, even if they suffer persecution for the faith, they must persevere because Christ has provided. Look at what it says in 19 there. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. If the statement was so radical, they did not. You could not stroll into the Holy of Holies. If you did stroll into the Holy of Holies, probably died immediately. I'm thinking there was one man who twice a year, the first time for himself, the second time on the same day, first time for himself, the second time for the nation, went in there and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. The high priest once a year went in there. Now we can go right now. I can stop and I can get on my knees and I can pray just to the same God that he prayed to. Now, we don't have the Shekinah glory. By the way, if we had the Shekinah glory in here, we'd be toast, most likely, quickly. It would be a pile of ashes sitting there. But we don't have that, but he did. The Levitical system was designed to keep worshipers at a distance from God. Now we can come boldly unto the throne of grace because he has paid the price. And we on this side of the cross have such a privilege. The Day of Atonement, if you would, has been paid at Calvary when Christ died once and for all. So we can draw nigh. So the theme would be this. The new covenant and priesthood of Jesus are superior to the law and Levitical priesthood because they provide the way for us to do what? Draw near to God. Because of this, I can draw near to God. So number one, if you're taking just 2 points, they're not really even, they are somewhat illiterated is the outline. The law and Levitical priesthoods, first of all, are inferior because they could not make anyone perfect. Now, the author emphasizes throughout Hebrews the concept of perfection or being made perfect. It does not mean that being without any flaw or defect, but rather it refers to the condition in which men are acceptable to God. Now, when I was dating my wife, my wonderful, absolutely wonderful wife,
I thought she's pretty near perfect when we were dating. And I still think, yes, she's still a wonderful woman. She's still a wonderful woman. But then, and she probably thought I was pretty well a nice person too. And now, but she stuck with me for 35 years. So she's got patience and a lot of different things. So stick to it. She's got that for sure. Perfect does not mean without flaws. It means to put someone in a position in which he can come to stand before God. You want to stand before God, you must have the righteousness of Christ applied to your life. Now, the unbelievers are going to stand before God, but that's for judgment and condemnation and cast into the fiery pit of hell for eternity, the lake of fire for eternity. They're already in Hades, I believe, in the center of this very earth. They'll be resurrected for a short time at the great white throne judgment. I personally believe in the resurrection there, that all who stand there are going to be unbelievers. There are those who believe in one general resurrection that would say every single individual is going to stand there. And then those not found in the book of life will be cast in the lake of fire. I tend to believe more of a literalist, futurist viewpoint that there's going to be a judgment for believers at the bema seat of Christ, not for salvation, but for rewards of loss of rewards. Will we be at the great white throne judgment? Yes, we will be there. Tears are not removed until after the great white throne judgment. Revelation 21. So the author then states that the law was unable to accomplish this. Verse 11, if you're still open there. Hebrews 7:11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, cannot be called after the order of Aaron? But what the law could not do, in Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. His argument really about the inferiority of the law and Levitical priesthood has 3 points. Number 1 and 7 is prediction. If the Levitical priesthood had been perfect, God would not have predicted a new order of priesthood according to Melchizedek. We see it right there. We just read it. Now keep in mind, the Jews regarded the law of Moses and the system of sacrifices it describes to be sacred and virtually untouchable. If there's one thing we're going to be consistent about, it's going to be about our Jewish system of worship. The priesthood was the basis of the law, and that the sacrificial system, it was the heart of the law, and could not function apart from the priest. The critic could have said to our author, the law of Moses and Levitical priesthood came 500 years after Melchizedek met Abraham. It has functioned for centuries, not just one time, as Melchizedek's priesthood with Abraham did. How then can you say the priesthood of Melchizedek is greater than the Levitical priesthood? To answer this objection, in Psalm 110, David wrote at the height of Levitical priesthood that in Psalm 110, verse 4, if you can get, I'm turning there real quickly myself, I'm already here, I believe, very soon. It says for us in 110:4, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, about 900 to 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. David predicted the priests were ever after the order of Melchizedek. It's a messianic psalm, which means what? About the Messiah. The Messiah is going to be of the Melchizedekian priesthood, if you would. Thou art forever a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So the author's argument is, if the Levitical priesthood and the law were good enough, why did God predict a new priest according to the order of Melchizedek? Because they are not good enough. And we need an eternal high priest who was foreshadowed in Melchizedek and later came on, as we understand, in the person of Christ the Messiah. There was a sect, S-E-C-T, called the Jewish Dead Sea Sect. And they looked for the appearance of two messianic figures, one priestly, the Messiah of Aaron, one other lay and kingly, the Messiah of Israel, who would be in subjection to the Messiah, the priestly one. Priestly one would be head of the nation, the kingly one, head of the line of David, subordinate to the priestly one. He suggests that if the commentator suggests that if the original readers of Hebrews had been influenced by this or similar teaching, then the author's point that Jesus fulfills both roles in the same person according to the superior order of Melchizedek is quite relevant. He is a king. He's also the priest. He's our Savior. If you read in your bulletin, with 250 some names for Christ in the Bible. That was interesting, he said, because one name cannot by any means describe our wonderful Savior, King, Priest, Lord, Master, Door. Go on and on and on. For me, Tim. Tim covers it. You might get a husband. I never get called that. I get called other names, good names. Or Papaw, or Dad, Tim, or Trailer Tim. Tomorrow I'll be Trailer Tim for the week. But that's pretty much, it's pretty much synopsis. There's not a lot of names need to be given me. But when it comes to our Savior, a multiplicity of names, because He is all those things. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Just a few of who He is. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's who I'm preaching about every single time. The Lord Jesus Christ. So, the only prediction, but secondly, in verse 12, is the priesthood. The law and the priesthood are linked, so that when the priesthood changed, the law had to change too. Back to 7:12 now. 7:12, for the priesthood being changed, that there is made of necessity to change also of the law. The radical implication of a change in the priesthood, it necessitates then, demands, if you would, a change in the law. Again, to understand, you must keep in mind that for a conscientious Jew, this was unthinkable. The law of Moses was the bedrock of their life. Jewish religion was so much part of their culture. You might say, by comparison today, Islam, the Sharia law of Islam, that would be just part of their culture. That would be, the Jewish culture was so centered around, and by the way, I'm not saying that is just as important as the Jewish culture by any means. I'm just trying to give you an example of what would be today. The law, again, the law of Moses was so important, but the author is arguing the law and the Levitical priesthood were so closely linked together, you could not change one without changing the other. Now, theologians, for the most part, have divided the law of Moses into the civil law, as Israel as a theocratic nation, and the ceremonial law, and then the moral law. Now, this moral law, most conservative scholars would say, the first two perhaps do not apply to us, but this moral law, I tell you, still applies to us. What's the moral law? 10 of them. Exodus 20, 1 to 17, there's 10 of them. I shall have no other gods before me. I shall not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the neath. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord, etc., etc., etc. That's the law. Don't steal, don't commit murder, don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, etc., etc. That's the moral law. It still applies to us. The morals of Leviticus 19 and 20 still apply to us about what constitutes a relationship and what constitutes immorality. So there's been pretty much a consensus, if you would please, of conservative theologians regarding that, except there's one commandment, number 4, that is not reiterated in the New Testament. Why is that? Remember the Sabbath day. Well, we have the Lord's Day. We're sitting in it right now. This is the Lord's Day. When the church came on the scene, they started meeting on the first day of the week, on Sunday, and so we have met thusly, but we still have a day, the Lord's Day, we are to celebrate and worship Him. I don't believe we personally have to follow all the Sabbath laws of the Jewish Old Testament people, but I tell you, we don't put enough emphasis on the Lord's Day. I tell you. Matter of fact, America used to have blue laws, did they not? Well, they're probably good things. To help us concentrate on going to church and spending time with God. Can you imagine that today? Trying to emphasize, I mean, I would like it. But can you imagine response if you start doing that today? That people put God first over sports on Sunday? I don't think so. We've got Sunday to go. That's what Sundays are for. Rodeos, etc. I trust you're not like that. There are some people who still believe that God should come first in all things, and I trust that you're some of those. And there are some people, you should listen to Wretched Radio. Everything he says is not, but I tell you, a lot of things he says regarding is right on, spot on. And he says, this idea, it was asked about, should we put sports first or God first? He says, hello, God comes first in all things. He does, by the way. So the first was prediction, priesthood. The third and 13 and 14 is principle. Melchizedek and Jesus are clearly not of the tribe of Levi, and they represent a new order of priesthood. Verse 13, 11,
7:13, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. It was the Levitical priesthood, but Christ, the Messiah, came from Judah, so he cannot be of the priesthood of Aaron, and absolutely right. He is far better beyond that. He calls Jesus our Lord, if you notice there in verse 14, that our Lord sprang, a title he used only in 13:20. He wants us to recognize that Jesus is not just another human priest, but he is our Lord, God in human flesh. The word sprang out of is literally has arisen from and is a messianic reference. Luke 1:18, Malachi 4:2, 2 Peter 1:19. It says another there. I mentioned it earlier on. The word another in 11:15 of our text is another of a different kind, heteros, not another of the exact same kind as Levi, a priest of Levi and Aaron would have been, but no, another of a new kind, of Melchizedek, something different. His overall point then is the law and Levitical priesthood were inferior because they could not make anyone perfect. They just can't do it. Just couldn't do it. So secondly then, second main point, the new covenant and priesthood of Jesus are superior because they provide a way for us to draw near to God. Number one, there is the power in verse 15, the power. The priesthood of Christ is superior because based upon the power of an indestructible life, verse 15, then yet it is far more evident for that which after the similitude of Melchizedek, there rises another priest who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life, which do you want? A priest that has to put on all the outward accoutrements and the breastplate and the robe and all these and the fringes around the robe and the tassels and the headdress and all this. Do you want that? Or do you want the eternal Son of God, who always has been, is now, and always will be, as your high priest, representing you to God the Father? Which do you want? I tell you, it's a no-brainer. And that's, he didn't use that terminology, but it's a no-brainer. You have the new and living way. He became a priest like Melchizedek based on something internal, namely the power of an endless or indestructible life. That is our Savior. Foreshadowed in Melchizedek, remember it said about earlier on of Melchizedek, it went all the way back to about verse 3. Of the same chapter, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. It doesn't mean that he was Christ. Now, if you want to believe this is a theophany, a Christophany, that is fine. But if what's a real person, this doesn't have to be that he was immortal. It simply means his genealogy is not given because it's not necessary. He's a picture of he who has always been, who is now, who always will be, so he doesn't need to have. And by the way, he cannot have his lineage through Aaron because he's a different priesthood kind. So he's a picture of the Son of God who always was, is now, and always will be. He's the everlasting Father. That's our Savior. That's who he is. And so that is why we have said of Melchizedek in 3, without father, without mother, without descent, because that was not the important part. The important part, he was a picture of the Son of God who does not have father or mother or descent, was not a created being. He always has been and is God, one of the members of the triune God. I trust you are Trinitarian, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, working seamlessly together to bring about redemption of mankind, so that what we lost in the Garden of Eden in Adam and Eve, we will one day regain and spend eternity with him. Not only the power, what about the purpose in verse 18? The old covenant and the Levitical priesthood are now set aside because they are weak and useless. For there is verily a disannulling, an annulling, if you would, means to annul, a legal term. This annulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Now, this does not mean that the law itself was weak. No. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy, just, and good, verse 12. What it means is that sinful flesh cannot keep the law.
The law was there. It's just like here are the guidelines. You got 10 guidelines for to run the household, Tim. And this is, as my mom and dad, I don't know how many they put up there. I can't remember they put any on there. We did it with Kendra and Ian. Here's some guidelines here. And here's the, you're supposed to follow these things. If you don't follow them, you're going to get in trouble. Well, they didn't follow us. They got in trouble. Here are the guidelines of how to live your life. The Ten Commandments, plus, plus, plus. And if you don't live it, we can. There's none can do it. There's only one on earth who ever walked these grounds. That was Christ. We cannot do it. So law cannot make any of us fit for the kingdom of God. It takes the death of the high priest, Jesus the Savior, and us placing his life and blood on our lives and receiving the righteousness, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So now I will be able to stand in his presence and see my dad and see Mr. Chet and Betty and see others who've gone on before. Mr. Barnes, who passed away recently. Others who've gone on before. I'll get to meet Larry's mom. Never met her. Because they have had the same blood applied to their lives. And they stand in God's presence. I'll get to see Jenna. I never met Jenna Roby. Lived 21 years here on earth and lived her life to purpose. I'm looking forward. And I knew her mom really well. She was my pianist back in New Jersey back in the 80s. She was a very, very good pianist. Matter of fact, she was majored in piano in college. But she played for 4 years for my high school groups. Saw her last week. I know her pretty well. Didn't ever met her daughter. But I will someday. Someday I'll get to meet her. And I'll get to meet these people who I've never known before. And I'll get to meet them and restart up a relationship with them. Because of what Christ did. See, sinners were prevented from entering the Holy of Holies. But we can go boldly into the throne of grace. And find grace to help in time of need. Finally, the power of the purpose. How about the pattern? The new covenant and the priesthood of Christ provide a better hope through that which we can draw near to God. A better hope. The author likes the word better. Matter of fact, uses 12 times in the original Greek out of 18 in total New Testament. 12 are in Hebrews. Better angels, better than the angels, convinced of better things in Hebrews. A new covenant is better than the old covenant with better promises. He's a better sacrifice whose blood speaks of better than the blood of Abel. Christians have a better possession in heaven. These men of faith sought for a better country, a heavenly one, and receive a better resurrection. Christ provided something better for us than the Old Testament saints. We have redemption in Christ. We look back to Calvary, and he has paid the price. We understand, and by grace through faith, we trust in the sacrifice at Calvary and receive forgiveness. The other point, if you got something better, why go back to something else? Maybe they're nostalgically thinking as they hear the shofar of going to the temple and seeing all the sacrifices and all the things going on, and I'm doing something. Every religion outside of Christianity, you must do something to earn salvation. Only Christianity says it's done. It is time to enjoy. So in conclusion, if I've not said that word already, if I'm sorry if I got you excited earlier, this is sort of the conclusion. Well, this is great for the Jews, but what about for you and me? For a couple things. Make sure that you understand and revel in the fact that you have been made acceptable to God totally through Christ. We can be with God because of Christ. Abundantly clear. We are saved by grace through faith, and anything else you're doing good does not cut it. Hope to God this week. I really hope to talk to him again this week. That he thought if he simply believed that he was good, that he's going to be okay. I believe there's a God somewhere and I've been good. I'll be all right. I said it's more than that. Second, make sure that you are utilizing and enjoying the great privilege of drawing near to God through the blood of Christ. We should be praying to him and beseeching him on the behalf of others and for ourselves. Donald Gray Barnhouse, was a student in France and pastored a small church there in the French Alps. And every week he would be going in town and the Catholic priest would be walking the other way. They'd pass and they'd start talking and meeting. And finally, one occasion, the priest said, Barnhouse, he said, why do Protestants not pray to the saints? And Barnhouse says to him, why should we? And the priest launched an illustration of how one might get an interview with the French president. One could go through one of the cabinet members who might succeed in opening the door to the president's office so that Barnhouse might get to see him. The priest's triumphant smile implied that simplicity and clarity of the argument precludes any kind of rebuttal. Simply know someone who can take you there, emphasizing the priesthood that he was that person. But Barnhouse said to his friend, suppose that I were the son of the president. I'm living in a palace with him, and I get up in the morning, have breakfast with him, and I kiss him goodbye as he goes off to the office. Then I go down to the Ministry of the Interior and ask the fourth secretary of the second assistant if it's possible for me to see the Ministry of the Interior, and if I can succeed in reaching his office, my request is an interview with my father. And the friend was thunderstruck as Barnhouse added that he was a child of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ, and I have immediate access right now. And that's what we have. The Old Testament priesthood, so important. God ordained, yes. But when Christ came, the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he died. And now you and I, we can come boldly. I want to really say, where no man's gone before. But if it was Old Testament, you could almost say that. We can boldly taste. May we rejoice in that tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for coming to die, and that you are the new and living way. The old was important, absolutely. But now, pictured in Melchizedek, fulfilled in Christ, we have a new and living high priest, and we have the privilege of praying even now to you at this very moment. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you grab a hymn book there, please, in closing? I think we have a song for this closing. We do. 454, a very thought-provoking song. 454, would you grab a hymn book, please? 454.